everybody, and welcome to episode 52 of On the Road with Auto Trader, where we make car stuff simple for Canadians. My name is Jody Lai, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Auto Trader.
And I am Dan Alika, and I am Auto Trader's road test editor.
Before we get started,
yes.
I wanted to talk about something completely random.
Okay.
I witnessed a crazy collision yesterday when I was driving.
That's not completely random. This is an automotive podcast, after all.
I mean, it has nothing to do with our topic.
Well, but it has to do with safety, and that's always a topic.
We've talked about randomer things before on the show.
Is randomer a word?
It is now.
More random? Randomer? Wow. All right, let's go. Randomest. Sorry, I've taken you off,
well, that's
off
random.
Topic here.
Anyway, so I was on the 401,
yes.
And I was in the middle lane.
Yes.
And in the left lane, there was a car and a work van next to me, but traffic was kind of stop and go the whole time, and it was crawling to a stop. And at the corner of my eye, I see this work van just charging forward. And I'm like, oh God, he's going to hit him. He's going to hit him. And of course, what happens? Smash! Accordions that car.
That's
rear-ended
scary.
It. And the whole like half of it looked like it just disappeared. All the airbags went off.
Were
and
they okay?
It happened right next to me. And the crunch was like so scary to
it's
me.
It's a scary noise. Like, so when I worked at Subaru, we brought some media to the IIHS, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which for those of you who don't know, it's a not-for-profit that's funded by the insurance industry that does crash testing. And that's why you see those top safety pick and top safety pick plus awards. And we had an opportunity to go down and witness crash testing for the Ascent.
I mean, that's a really bold move on Subaru, but very cool.
It was cool, but that sound, especially in that environment, I mean, I've heard
and you know it's coming.
Exactly.
And it's still scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, that's scary
I was
stuff.
Shook.
Yeah.
This happened right next to me, and I was so shook.
Was the person okay?
They got out. I saw them getting out of the car.
Okay.
They got out really fast, and a couple other people had pulled over to help them, so I didn't stop. But it was like, wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was so shook on the rest of my way home. I was so eagle-eyed for everyone around me.
That's,
and just a reminder, like, this happens when people aren't paying attention,
exactly.
Right? So, like, you have to pay attention. People forget that they are piloting, like, 2-ton projectiles.
I you know, and I hate to speculate, obviously, who knows what happened in that circumstance. But, you know, in a collision like that, more often than not, it's, like, texting, you know, even changing the radio station, doing whatever, anything but looking at the road ahead. And of all times that you should be paying attention to what's going on in front of your vehicle is when traffic is stop and go. I mean, realistically, you should do it all the time, but we're all guilty of, you know, you reach down to pick up your drink, to change the radio station, whatever, adjust the volume. Don't ever touch your phone. I don't even, like, it doesn't matter if you're in a old work van that doesn't have Apple CarPlay. The ones that drive me nuts, though, are the people that you see driving around in a vehicle that, like, you and I know from experience 100% at minimum has Bluetooth.
Right.
But probably has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, and yet people are still on their phones. And I'm like, come on, man. The whole reason this technology exists is so that you don't have your phone in your hand.
Yeah, but people are addicted to TikTok and Instagram. They got to be watching that stuff at all times,
oh my God,
which is so bad.
It drives me nuts.
So
anyways,
bad.
let's get to the matter at hand.
Today, we are talking about automotive glow-ups and blow-ups. So we didn't actually know what was the opposite of a glow-up, so we just made up blow-up.
Yeah, I think it works.
And so in terms of car design, you know, things typically get better.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get worse.
So much so that you want to blow them up.
Exactly.
Hence, blow-ups.
So it makes a lot of sense. So Dan and I today are going to be going through a whole bunch of recent glow-ups. We're only going to be talking about, like, current models that you can buy today.
Yeah. There's so many
throughout
history.
There's, like, too many. We'd have, like, a 30-hour podcast.
But this is just, you know, like Jody said, very recent. Some of them as recent as, you know, just, I guess, last month now, at the New York Auto Show, that they made their debuts, which is kind of cool. So these are very fresh and very cool. That's not the only reason we picked them, and you'll hear and see some of them are a little bit older, but current generation, or more specifically, current model year.
Yeah, and I often think that we agree on most things.
Yes.
Style is usually not one of those things. For some reason, we butt heads a lot on our opinions regarding different style. But I do think that style is such an important deciding factor for a lot of people when they're buying their cars.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of people buy their cars based on what they look like. And so that's why this kind of stuff is so important.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, that people do that, but then, like, they convince themselves of what is stylish. That yeah. part is really, you know, I mean, there are some very practical decisions out there, obviously. But yeah, there are cars that you're like, well, that's not, it's not that it's like ugly, but you know, you're like, well, it could be more stylish, but people are like, no way, this thing is like so, so hot. And it's like, not really. I mean, a Tesla in general, they all look the same.
Yeah.
It's like a worn down bar of soap.
Well, I feel like a lot of electric vehicles look like that.
Sure.
Like the Mercedes, all the Mercedes electric vehicles. Yeah. I hate how they look right now.
But at least they're designed for a purpose.
It's
but
aerodynamics.
But I don't think, you know, like you're, most Tesla owners wouldn't be. It's like that guy that commented on the whatever five things you should know before buying an EV. No, it was the do you need all wheel drive in an EV? And some guy commented like, ha, you know, nobody buys an EV because of range and efficiency. And it's like, dude,
literally everybody.
Yeah, like just you know, certain stereotypes. It's like BMW drivers and no signals and Tesla owners, you know, playing this weird, like, you know, I'm cooler than you card that is never really the case. Anyway,
let's get started.
Yes.
So the Toyota Prius got a lot of attention in its most recent generation because it got a complete overhaul. And previously, it was, you know, it's always been well known for being reliable, being super efficient. This is what it looks like now.
It's
and for those
so
of
good.
You listening, this might be a good opportunity to head over to our YouTube channel and watch the episode there so you can see examples of some of the cars we're talking about. But yeah, the new Toyota Prius looks so good.
It does. And it's this is one that's objectively stylish. Maybe I'll go out on a limb here and say that I think it gets more credit than it's due because of where it's coming from. Because the previous one was so ugly that this thing is like, wow. I mean, look at it.
Oh my God. Okay, so we were talking earlier about how this Toyota Prius design aged terribly.
Yeah.
Even worse than the one that came before it.
Yeah, it's so like, I just don't understand. I get, again, that aerodynamics is the reason it looks like this. Low coefficient of drag and all that stuff. But like, it is just ugly.
It's too fussy. There's too many random decisions, very arbitrary design language. And from the back, it looks even worse. We don't have a picture of it from the back, but it had these like weird zigzag.
See, that's the funny. Well, that's not. Wait, are you
the
talking
taillights?
Oh,
is that the previous one?
No. So there's the Prius and the Prius Prime.
Right.
I thought you were talking about the glass because the back glass is wavy, which I actually like. That's only on the Prius Prime, so the plug-in hybrid. But yeah, like, it's interesting to see. And yesterday when I was returning the RAV4 that I was driving, there was a 2024 Camry at Toyota, or 25, whatever, the new Camry was at Toyota's head office. It looks, from the front, it looks exactly like a Prius.
Interesting.
When I was approaching it, I thought, because I came out of the building and I was like staring at it head on. And I, at first glance, was like, I didn't know that color Prius was on the fleet. And I was like, wait a minute. I looked at the rest of it. I was like, oh, that's a Camry, which I think is smart to see Toyota go back to a bit more of a universal design language.
Yeah, like a family resemblance kind of thing.
Yeah, because it kind of got away from that a little bit. Like
you
could see some similarities across the different models, but not enough, in my opinion.
Toyota went really crazy. So at first they were kind of boring, like they were famously very conservative designs. And then all of a sudden, they went nuts, like crazy, crazy. And then now they're kind of mellowing back out so that it's stylish, but not so
those headlights
objectively
are just
terrible.
Like, it's cool. And it's cool to see it on the Camry as well as the
Absolutely.
As the...
And when I was driving the Prius, I had a yellow one just like this one. And people stopped me everywhere. They were like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that's a Prius. So it got a lot of attention, a lot of positive attention. And I think now that it looks like this, I think it's going to get a lot more people into the Prius who otherwise wouldn't have considered it because it used to be so ugly.
I don't necessarily agree because I think the Prius is so polarizing, like as a vehicle. I think like its reputation in the early days really dogged it and still like, you know, it's just got that bad rap in some people's eyes. Because I don't know, to me, like if you want an efficient car, you're going to, like, if you care about efficiency, that's prioritized, generally speaking.
Right. Over, and you don't really care about style anyway.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to convince more people, but I think it's going to make, like, less people embarrassed to have one, you know, in traffic or parked in their driveway, because okay, that is good. A big factor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anyway, love the new Prius. So congrats, Toyota, on this really successful design.
Now, this new one that we're going to talk about is, like, hot off the press.
This vehicle has just debuted. It debuted at the New York Auto Show. It was honestly a big surprise for me. So we're talking about the new Nissan Kicks. And previously, this is what it looks like now. Like, wow. That looks so cool. What a huge departure from what it used to look like.
Yeah.
It was super frumpy before. You know, I think this is now Nissan's, like, most affordable model. And for it to look like that, that looks expensive to me.
It does, for sure. My only fear is what it's going to, like, is it going to be kind of, you know, good from afar, but far from good once you get up close?
Maybe.
Because remember,
seen
like,
it in
the old
yet.
Kicks, kind of cheap, you know, some yep. of the materials inside when you got up close to it. Like, because even that, to me, that doesn't look cheap from this angle.
It looks good. It just didn't stand out to me.
Sure, I agree. But when you got up close, you started to notice some things.
Yeah, there's like plastic
this
bits and
entry level. So I hope that the new one doesn't suffer the same fate.
Yeah.
But man, it does look really good.
It looks really good. And it's a lot bigger than it used to be as well. I love that they kept the two-tone roof. It looks really nice. That grill, I can imagine it being a little bit polarizing, but I do like the headlight and the DRL design. The wheels look great.
The wheels are wicked.
And this is kind of just like a new direction that a lot of automakers are going towards, like these big blocky grills. And I kind of love it.
Yeah, this is a good one. Next on the list is even bigger.
Speaking of big blocky grills.
Yes, this is huge. This is the Infiniti QX80.
It also just debuted at the New York yep. Auto Show. So this is also hot off the presses.
This is a very evolutionary design.
It is completely different from what it used to look like.
What?
No, you think this looks...
This is an evolution.
Evolutionary.
Look at,
how different it is.
Jody, I think we need to get you to the optometrist right after this.
Maybe.
Look at that. That is 100%. Like, you can clearly see the relation between the two.
Okay, I could. But yeah, that's true. That's true.
That is.
But it does
but
look
I
so
like
much
it.
Better.
It's a huge, 100%. But I'm saying, like, the Kicks is completely revolutionary.
Right, right.
This thing is very evolutionary. This is like you can trace the lineage from one to the next.
And if we go back even one, this is like a after refresh model.
Yeah.
The one before this that looked like a whale.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Big,
God, I'm glad it's gone.
Like the Armada was the same, the Nissan Armada, which is like the mainstream.
It was hideous.
Sibling.
And the QX80 is Infiniti's like flagship SUV. So it has to look really good. And I think it finally does now.
We should talk about, you know, obviously we can't judge operation until we actually drive them, but these stupid pop-out door handles, I don't know why. Like, I understand, you know, from a design perspective, why you would want that, because it's cleaner. Designers don't like lines when, like, interrupting
yeah.
lines, right? Or anything that's going to break it up. But to me, it's just something to go wrong.
Yeah, just that's going to get stuck. That's going to be covered over ice one day.
Just anything. There's so many, like, some of them, okay, again, this is why I don't want to judge, because, like, when Jaguar introduced the same sort of deploying door handles, you could push the kind of front end of it, the back end would pop out, and then you could put your key in if your battery was dead or
right.
whatever. So I don't know how this one works, but it's just concerning to me that so many of the, like the Kia EV9 and the EV6, for example, you can't. Oh, no, the EV6
yeah.
you can't, but the EV9?
I mean, even when I drove the Polestar 1, it had these flush door handles, and it didn't work. And they made me crawl in through the passenger side to get in to drive the car. And this is a six-figure car. So
I think they just wanted
pissed.
To embarrass you.
I mean, I looked pretty stupid. So,
mission accomplished.
Great success.
Okay, moving on. This one is one that isn't quite as fresh, not quite as, you know, news worthy in terms of, like, when it happened, it was
but
sort of a quiet,
model.
But it's an important model. The Hyundai Elantra. When the current generation came out, I didn't love it. This is the facelifted version, and I do. And if you look, Everything else about this car is the same as before, except for the fascia. Oh, we should act. Here's a good one. Maybe, hopefully some of our contributors are listening to this. I don't understand why they always say the front fascia. You can't have a front face and a rear face.
It should be a rear fascia.
Exactly. So anyways, the fascia, not the front fascia, the only fascia has been heavily revised and it looks so good now.
And this looks good. Can I ask you a question though? Yes. Do you like that like kink in the door?
Yeah, I didn't like it on the previous, like the pre-facelifted version. And I don't hate it as much here.
I don't love it.
Sure, I get
it. It looks
that.
Like something like bonked into it and it kind of just stuck like that.
I mean, yeah.
I just think it's kind of unnecessary.
Sure, but it adds some character. Yeah. If you look at like a Corolla or a Civic where there are no character lines
That's
at
true.
All, this at least has, you know, some contouring and it looks kind of edgy and it matches with the rear end. But yeah, the
Huge
front end on this is like phenomenal.
Yeah,
I
just
love
look
it.
At what it used to look.
That's so bad.
That grill is hideous.
But it's crazy how it can change.
Yeah.
Like if you look at that design, like the kind of totality of it, it makes this thing look really plunging.
Like it's pointing
exactly.
down.
And every, like I said, everything else about the exterior design is identical. Just the front end has been changed. It's wider and it suddenly doesn't make it look as plungy and awkward and just, wow.
Yeah, like it's really important for cars to have a strong front end. That's your first impression of a car, right? And so car designers are always talking about like, oh, they want it to look like their cars are in motion even when it's standing still, which is such a cliche.
I hate that.
But I kind of understand what they mean. They just want it to look sporty and like alive and dynamic, right? This one was a big fail for me.
Yeah, it always looked too, it's like not aggressive enough, a little bit catfishy like the old Sonata, which is a good segue
right.
into another one of these glow-ups that we have, right?
So Hyundai, we're going to talk about another Hyundai next.
Yeah.
And Hyundai has actually been killing it in terms of design. Part of this is because they had kind of poached a lot of people from the German brands, which I think is interesting.
So this is my hot take. I agree, but I think it's the young designers more
than
100%, the old guys.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against
the old guys. I
think it's
when you combine that experience with the fresh ideas together, I think that's a great combination.
I like their, when you talk to these guys, they have sort of good, there's good working relationships with all of the design centers within the Hyundai Motor Group, but they also have kind of a little bit of competitive spirit from one to the next. So there's a design center in Korea, obviously. There's one in Europe and there's one in California. And they will have sort of, you know, a little friendly competition to
between the different studios.
Yeah,
oh,
to see
fun.
Kind of who's design. And then once they sort of hammer it out, like, okay, this is the one we're going with, then they'll assign a certain area. Or sometimes it's predetermined, you know, New York is going to, or California, sorry, is going to do this design because it's a North American model and it makes more sense. But I like that idea that they do feel a little bit competitive with each other because that's how you elevate.
Yeah,
right?
Competition makes you step up your game for sure.
So the new Hyundai Santa Fe.
This is a completely wild redesign. This looks nothing like the one that came before it.
Which is pretty common. It's pretty typical for Hyundai.
And especially in this era that Hyundai is having, they're in this era of like redefining who they are, what they are as a brand. And look at them side by side. They look nothing like each other.
For sure. But the other crazy thing is that design on the left, so the old design, that's like 2 years old.
But it looks so dated already.
So my controversial opinion on this is that I never hated that one. I kind of liked the pre-facelift
or the
pre-redesign.
I liked it better than this one. Like the one that came before this, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one looks, I thought it looked good. And
I don't like
speaking
the headlights.
Speaking of the like wheel designs, I loved that wheel design in particular. It has sort of like a Kräger, like,
yep.
you know, hot rod or muscle car wheel vibe to it.
To me, the design of the old Santa Fe is okay, except for the headlights. I really, really hate those squinty headlights that Hyundai was doing for a couple years.
Sure.
It's just not flattering.
And the other thing that I will say that's you know, not so complimentary about the old one is I thought the shape of those lights that lead into the grill, it reminds me of like the bottom of a Nintendo cartridge. Every time I see it, I'm like,
blow on it.
You know, like it's so anyways, that's my one, and it's not necessarily a criticism. It's just like once I saw that, I couldn't unsee right. it. This thing is crazy, and you can see all these like hidden H shapes.
Oh, yeah.
So in the lights, the whole grill. And then the cool thing is, Chris, if you can kind of zoom in on the rear, yeah, like right on this, right there, that's actually a handle, right where that hand is.
For what?
So you reach in, and it's like to hoist yourself up to get to the roof.
I love when design is also so functional yeah. like that. When yeah. those two worlds collide, that's it for me. It's great.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So I love the boxy look of the new Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of boxy cars, and I think this is a really successful design. And I do think it will age a lot more gracefully than the previous Santa Fe.
Sure. I mean, yeah, but there's always the risk that it's so polarizing and boxy that if design, especially as electrification becomes the new norm and very streamlined True. Shapes become the thing, then this is going to stand out like a sore thumb. Potentially.
I didn't think
I'm not
about
saying
that, but that's,
for sure,
that's a good
but
point.
But there is that chance that, like, let's say like 5 or 6 years from now, you have one of these Santa Fes and everyone is driving these like sleek and slippery little things. And then this like is suddenly going to look frumpy.
That's
potentially, I'm not saying for sure.
Definitely a possibility. But I think this is cool. Like, I like yeah. how it's leaning into like a little bit of retro design. Yeah, I don't know. I like it a lot.
So I interviewed, one of the designers from this Santa Fe last year. And if you inside, it's got the same. So in Hyundai's electric vehicles, they introduced this gear selector, and it's like a column selector that you twist, you know, the end to change between reverse and neutral and drive, and then a button on the end for park, and then like these kind of open flowing center console areas. Those are all in the EVs. And apparently Hyundai's execs were like, man, you guys are giving all the good stuff to the EVs and you're neglecting, you know, our gas powered model. So this Santa Fe has a lot of the same treatments that were introduced in the Ioniq 5 and the Ioniq 6, and soon the Ioniq 7 are in this new Santa Fe to sort of share the love and lessons that they learned building EVs are now being implemented in their gas cars, which is kind of cool.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
My only thing about Hyundai, and I think yes. because it's like a relatively like new-ish brand, is that they don't have a defined aesthetic.
For sure. And that's always going to be a problem. Yeah. And I asked Luke, I always butcher his last name, Donkel Volke. I asked him about that. And he said, you know, that's kind of because they don't have a history.
They're like a lot more free to do.
Yeah. But I agree with you. Like when you look at automakers over the years, there are like distinct generations of, you know, like Porsche, even Mercedes, GM's brands, like you look at them and go, oh, that's so 70s. That's like that screams 70s Chevy, for example. But yeah, you're right. Like the fact that Hyundai has decided to be so, you know, just all over the map with its designs, I agree. I wish that there was a little bit more unity.
Yeah, like if you covered up that badge and I'd never seen this before, I would know who that came from.
No.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, again, like you said, no rear view of it. The same treatment in the lights, that little H thing. But cool. The unfortunate part is they're so low. The tail, like the brake lights are so low down. And I don't understand. This is something that Hyundai in particular has been doing a lot lately. If you look at, you know, the Tucson, for example, the taillights are on the bumper and the running lights are up high. And my thing is like, that defies modern logic. Vehicles are getting bigger. Ride heights are getting taller because cars are going away and we're driving more SUVs. So when people pull up too close, inevitably tailgate you or get too close at a light or whatever, you can't see those lights. They're completely obstructed by the front end of your vehicle. So I wish Hyundai would take care of that and
move everything up
yeah,
a little.
Yeah. But again, and this is like the door handle thing, right? There's sometimes I think designers are given too much you know, too much control over decisions.
Right.
That somebody needs to, I'm not saying like, you know, we should put the bean counters in charge again. Like, I'm glad to see brands that have moved away from that, but somebody with some sense needs to step in and be like, guys, this doesn't work, like, practically speaking.
Oh, there are a ton of questionable decisions made in design where something like practicality or safety was sacrificed just for style. And I don't think that should ever happen. Like, there should be a way where all of that stuff can live together happily.
Yeah. But anyways, this is a really cool design. Another cool design that I was actually really surprised by in a good way, but also just surprised that there's a new one, is the Kia K4.
Yeah, so this also just came out of New York Auto Show. The K4 is the new name for the Forte. Yes. So they're retiring the Forte name.
Look at this thing.
It looks so good.
This is another one that, like you were saying about the kicks, that it's like,
this is an entry-level car.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it looks so good.
Like, I can't just... Oh my God.
It's and I'm crazy. Happy that it even exists because we all, like you said, everyone, because SUVs are so popular, a lot of these small compact sedans and hatchbacks are being discontinued.
This is one of those good examples of letting, you know, the global market dictate production instead of, you know, just the North American market. Yes, crossovers and SUVs are becoming more popular around the world, but, you know, there are lots of other markets. Latin America is a good example. Europe still is a good example, where cars like sedans and hatchbacks are still a big deal. And I'm glad that Kia is taking that and going, okay, well, that means we're going to keep selling this in a market that, you know, is more favorable towards crossovers. Cause like, look at this thing. And this, I said this, I hate to take from my review, like an idea that I already used, but, I was talking about like, the Mercedes GLS class versus the S class, so the SUV versus the sedan. And I said, like, there's just something, there's that indefinable, like, you know, coolness that comes with a sedan, the sleek shape and whatever, that an SUV cannot replace.
For sure.
And this is a prime example of it. Like, there is no crossover that looks this good just naturally.
Yeah, because you can't pull it off with the proportions, right? Yeah, this looks great. Can't wait to drive it. Yeah. We're going to do one more glow up before we move to blow ups because we're running out of time.
I wanted
to talk about the Chevrolet Traverse.
Oh, this is huge. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So this was never a SUV that stood out in my mind before, but it recently got overhauled. And this is what it looks like now. So
it looks like a baby Tahoe.
Yeah. So they took a lot of the styling from the Tahoe and the Silverado
Suburban.
And they put it into this SUV format, and it looks great.
Yeah, it's killer.
And just to compare it with the old one, the old one was just so nondescript.
Yeah, it was just very bland.
Very bland. And, yeah. Not a single piece of interesting design on it.
No.
The new one looks aggressive. It looks really cool. It looks very outdoorsy.
For sure. Outdoorsy.
Great
you
job.
You love that. That's your go-to, like, because there's no catch-all term for, like, that, like, when you don't want to say rugged per se, you always say, oh, it's outdoorsy.
I'm like,
I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah. It's like if I had a kayak or something, like I would consider driving that,
you know? I would love to see you try to do anything with a kayak.
I've been kayaking before. 100%.
Did you get hoisted into it?
No, I...
Did you...
You must think I'm like a complete potato.
In the outdoors, yes.
I can kayak and I quite enjoy kayaking actually.
When was the last time you went?
Last year.
Wow.
Yeah, because my parents have kayaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If they belong to your parents, are they kayaks or are they liaks?
That's good. I'm going to tell my dad that. He's going to really like that.
Okay. Let's move on to some blow-ups,
on to some blow-ups because we're running out of time. We have fewer to go over this time, so we'll pick and choose which ones. You suggested this Subaru Ascent as a blow-up.
Yeah, and I think the same thing applies... Like you were mentioning with the Traverse, where it's like the old one didn't stand out, but it was very like inoffensive.
Yeah.
This, like, look at that. That's just like any family SUV. Like,
yeah, I don't hate the new one.
Oh,
my God.
Look at this.
The old one was just very bland. The new one.
Look at that.
Little bit extra.
Look
like,
at that fascia.
I don't hate it.
Ugh, those headlights, the shape of them. Those headlights to me look like they're upside down. Like the edge, the sharp edge should be up at the top.
Yeah.
As opposed to this down. Oh, I don't know. I hate it. And then another one that I suggested that you weren't as, you know, in agreement with, but, and I think might be controversial, is the new Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love it.
The previous Tacoma, I really loved because it was old, but timeless. It just aged. Yeah, it was timeless. It was so good. This is the new one.
This is like the Tacoma you got on Wish. Is that still a meme?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, the version or like
the order, you know, what you ordered and what you got.
Yeah. Or like the mom, can we have a Tacoma? And then it's
we
like,
have a Tacoma at home.
This is the Tacoma at home. It's so bad.
It's pretty ugly. There's too much going on in this front end.
And we should talk about like, so this air dam is one. It's just about.
It's ugly.
It's about fuel. Well, yes, it's about being ugly, but it's about fuel like or air dynamic efficiency, right? Reduce the drag, and it makes it more efficient. That's why it exists. Surely it's easy to remove. On one hand, it's kind of cool because it's like an old like NASCAR. Like I'm talking like 70s, or like a Can-Am car. That part is kind of cool, but it's on a truck and the first time you try to take the funny thing about this one in particular, having that is it's got the TRD off-road kit. So it's not the TRD Pro, but this is supposedly an off-road version of this truck. The first time you try to go down any trail, you're
going to
rip it right off. Anyways, it's poorly executed.
What's with the trailing arm?
Because it's elevated ride height. That's why the air dam exists. Because all of that stuff is going to lead to aerodynamic drag. But the downside is, I mean,
you shouldn't see that stuff.
No.
Anyway, ugly. Yeah. The other one. Okay, so I did want to bring up. I did want to bring up a BMW. Yeah. We're going to talk about the 7 Series.
Oh,
BMW,
this is not the one I thought you wanted to bring up.
Oh, no. There's another one that we can do. But this is the new 7 Series. And it is hideous. And it's such a shame because I've driven the new 7 Series and it's a fabulous sedan. Loved driving it. Mm-hmm. The interior was beautiful. Loved the way it drove. But like, I can't look at that. Like, that is so ugly.
Wait, do you think, as you said earlier about how Hyundai, you know, took some European designers, do you think they took any from BMW and as a trade, they went, okay, you take our old headlight style and we'll get your designers. And then they laughed and said, now you suckers are stuck. I don't understand, like, what's going on between the grill and BMW going, yes, we have this timeless grill. Let's butcher it. And then when people go, ew, that's ugly, they go, let's make it ugly.
Yeah, hold my beer. Yeah. I hate this design. I can't. It's just so hideous to me. It doesn't say luxury. How is it that a Kia K4 can look more luxurious than this?
And I also don't, especially on the 7 Series, I don't love the door handles, the way they're just pockets. They're little buttons
like
on the inside.
It's like a squeeze
trigger. Yeah, but it's like, to me, this is one of those things that I thought a designer would be like, no way in hell are you breaking up the design with these holes.
It's just a hole. It looks like a mail slot. Like, get out of here, right?
Yeah.
And just to show you what a downgrade this was, let's look at the previous 7 Series.
Look at that.
Look at how nice that looks.
It's so good.
This was a boss car. Like, the 7 Series was a boss sedan. Look at that. That looks great.
Yeah, I like it.
What a disaster it turned into.
Yeah. But again, the grill, I liked this generation of the 7 Series better pre-facelift when the grill was smaller.
I agree with you. I think this grill is too big and makes it look like it just has a big old schnoz.
But this is, again, what we were talking about, where BMW went, oh, this thing's ugly. It was panned for these terrible grills. Yeah. So then with the new one, instead of going, oh, guys, we upset people, like, let's tone it down, we went, no, let's make it worse.
I'm excited for what BMW is doing in the near future, though, because they're bringing back a lot of their, like, classic designs from, like, the 60s, which I love. Anyway, I can't look at this anymore. Let's keep going. Let's do one more blow-up, and then we'll move on to Ask an Expert.
Okay.
This one is really controversial.
Okay.
You told me that you actually thought the new Chevrolet Corvette was a downgrade from the previous generation. When they flipped over to the mid-engine layout, you didn't like it so much.
And the funny thing about this is that I saw one today on the way into the studio, like the previous, the C7, that one. And I was like, man, That's a good looking car.
I chose the Grand Sport because I know that one is your favorite.
When I drove that car, I was just like, that was a peak moment for me.
This is a beautiful car to me. And this says Corvette. Like, yeah. I really liked this design. Perhaps the only thing I didn't like about it was the rear end. They had some questionable design choices.
But
from the front, it looked great. So when they flipped over to the mid-engine layout, that obviously has to change fundamentally everything about the design, right? So they did this so that they could better compete with, you know, whatever, McLaren's, Ferraris, this and that.
Yeah.
It
was all about extracting more performance out of it.
I don't hate it, but you don't like it.
I don't. It's not that I hate it. It's just like you said, this is like timeless Corvette. And I understand, obviously, why the proportions are different now, because there's no longer an engine in the front. So it doesn't need this big, long front end. But that, to me, was like the beauty and the charm of every Corvette ever had the same look. Like, yes, of course, the generations were very distinct, but every single one of them, the proportions were the same.
And that silhouette, that long hood, short deck.
Yeah, and now it's different, and it's just like, I think it's a blow up, personally.
Wow, that's controversial. I think we're going to get some angry messages about this.
And you know what? You can direct those angry messages to expert at I always like forget. It's expert at trader.ca.
That's right.
The 53rd time, still not the charm. I don't know. We'll see what happens next episode.
Before our Ask an Expert segment, here is a message from your friends at Auto Trader.
Can't find a car at your ideal price point? Auto Trader is the answer. Car prices are dropping across Canada, and Auto Trader has got you covered with hundreds of thousands of cars for you to choose from. Use our price badges to find a great deal at a great price today. Visit Auto Trader for more.
Today's Ask an Expert comes from Gordon. Hi, Dan. I read your article on the Volvo all-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive, and I found it informative. My question relates to another part of the trial that was observed, and that was the observed range of the vehicles during your test. Was the extended range version severely limited due to colder weather? I'm really looking at the rear-wheel drive model, as you said, and the projected range is about 470 kilometers. I'm looking to buy an EV in the near future, and I'm interested in what kind of mileage I could expect. I remember the good old days when you could take the projected mileage and knock 10% right off the bat. I almost forgot to mention that I live on Vancouver Island, where our lows are not really terrible.
So I think that is a great, first of all, thanks for the compliment. Thanks for the message and the interest. So I think that you will be fine with that rear wheel drive, you know, extended range version. It's really hard for me to comment on the range specifically on this program because we were constantly swapping vehicles. So I never drove the same, you know, specific unit more than like, let's say 50 or 60 kilometers. So even though, you know, you could say, well, just track it across them, I don't know how the last person was driving that one. So, and then some days intentionally, when we were like setting out, the state of charge was like in the 60%. But I'll tell you, when we had a full charge with an all-wheel drive version that had about 2,600 kilometers on the odometer, it was one of the units from the program that you went on in Spain.
Oh, cool.
And on a full charge all-wheel drive that's supposed to have 425 or whatever the range is, it had 502.
That's pretty impressive.
And that was in northern Sweden.
And because Gordon lives on Vancouver Island, it never gets too cold there. So I wouldn't expect like a drastic drop in range in the winter.
No, I think you know, stay tuned for once they arrive on the local fleet. No, it won't be a wintertime test, but Jody or I will do a full road test and get a better sense of how it performs in real world conditions. But based on my experience in Sweden, I would be totally fine with the rear wheel drive if I were you, especially on Vancouver Island. Shout out Vancouver Island. Forbidden Bikes, my favorite bike brand, my trusty steed. It's that time of year I get to ride again.
Oh, you must be so excited to get out there. You've been itching all winter.
Forbidden Bikes, Cumberland, BC, great place. I love visiting Vancouver Island. Gordon, I think you will be more than happy with a rear wheel drive EX30.
Thank you, Gordon, for your question. If any of you have questions you would like to ask Dan or I, you can email expert@trader.ca. Especially if you have any hate comments for Dan and his opinions on the new Corvette.
All right.
That wraps up this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure to rate the podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I would really love if you all did that. And drive safe, and we'll see you next time.